When I was a bacha in Mir Yeshiva, I don't know how old I was anymore. I don't know, I was 17, 18 years old. There's sometimes, I had my Rebbe, I was very close to him. Bavom Shmulevitz. I was really, really close to him. I learned by him for close to 5 years, every single day. I was really, really close to him. And there's some conversations. It was Bavom Shmulevitz, he was a son. He is a son of Reb Chaim, the famous Roshiva of Mir, Reb Chaim Leib Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who took Mir to Shanghai. And so he, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, had three sons. His oldest son is Reb Fol Shmulevitz, who is currently one of the Roshivas in Mir. Reb Fol Shmulevitz is a Bechoyer. He's a Gon and an Ilui. And it's hard to compare his Iluishkeit, it's unbelievable. He's an unbelievable Ilui. He's got a second son, who is Reb Avraham Tzvi Shmulevitz, named after his great-grandfather, the Miro Rav, Reb Avraham Tzvi Kamai, second son. And the third son is Reb Meir Shmulevitz. And Meir Shmulevitz is also an Ilui, an absolute Ilui, a typical Ilui. It's very difficult to have a conversation with Meir because he's just so fast that he just has Reb Meir. And the second son is Reb Avraham Shmulevitz. Reb Avraham Shmulevitz happens to have been very close to the Ger Rebbe. He became a bit of a Ger Chosid as well. That's interesting as well. But I was zoche to learn with Reb Avraham Shmulevitz for many years. And there's sometimes conversations that just get stuck in you and you don't forget them. So we learned every single day, sometimes even twice a day. And we learned Baruch Hashem, I don't know what chus I had to learn with him, mamash, for many years. And I remember that once he was explaining something and I just couldn't understand. No, it happened many times. But once, at one special occasion, he was explaining something, and I just didn't understand. I said, could you explain it again? So he tried again, and I still didn't understand the svar that he was saying. I think it was in Yevamah. I just couldn't understand it. So I said, can you just try once again? I just don't understand what you're saying. And he said, no, I'm not going to explain it again. Very unlike him. I'm not going to explain it again. So I said, why not? I mean, why? And then he told me, I'll tell you why, because there's no point. And I said, why not? He said, I'll tell you why. Because I can see from the fact that you didn't understand it second time round, must be that you said V'harev No in the morning, you said it without Kavana. That's what he said. You must have said V'harev No without Kavana. I can explain it another time, another time, another time. If you say Birkas HaTorah without Kavana, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. That was his understanding in my not understanding. Halavai, this would have been true. It would have implied that other times I do say with Kavana. But it was something which was very interesting. And he said, no, there's no point. If you say V'harev No without Kavana, if you say Birkas HaTorah without Kavana, the Torah they're going to be learning that day is not going to be the same. It's not going to be quite the same level. Something which now, quite a number of years later, I still remember the importance of saying Birkas HaTorah without Kavana. That's just as a short introduction to what we're holding in Simon Mem Zayin, Dine Birkas HaTorah. We started off yesterday with Birkas HaTorah Tzorich Lezor Ba'me'oid. Should be very careful with Birkas HaTorah. And indeed, the expression of Lizoyer Bomeoid is fairly rare. Where else do we find this expression? Where else do we find this expression of you must be very careful? Very careful. Tzorich Lizoyer Bomeoid, you need to be very careful with Birkas HaTorah. Indeed, a very, very interesting expression. You should be very careful. The Mishnah Berurah in Sef Kotten Beis says the following. Ma'oid, shaloi lilmoid al sheivoch. You must be careful not to learn until you make a bracha. Yes, as we mentioned, don't learn before making Birkas HaTorah. Ve'evoich oisa besimcha gedoyla. And you should make that bracha with great simcha, sefkotten base. You should say the bracha in great simcha. The matzinu shomu chazal. The famous Gemara says, Alma of the Oretz, why did Klal Yisrael lose its land? Eretz Yisrael. Vayoyimer Hashem, Hashem says the Pasuk in Novi, Al Ozvom Toirosi, because Klal Yisrael has left my Torah. Ozvom, they left Teirasi ma'atoyre. V'om chazan and the Gemara says, Shadova zeh, this matter, nishal neviim. They asked the prophets, the neviim, al ma of the haaretz, why did Klal Yisrael really lose? Why did they go into Golus? Why did Klal Yisrael tackle lose Eretz Yisrael? And that includes also the Chum Beis HaMikdash. Why did all this happen? She Yisrael, hayo iskim ba'atoyre. Because Klal Yisrael was learning Torah. They were learning Torah by Asmada. Umotzinum we find she calls man she oiskim ba'atoyre. As long as they were learning Torah, and Klal Yisrael normally, as long as Yidden learn Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam normally says, okay, fine, I'm not going to let you get away with it. As long as Yidden learn Torah, Hashem says, it's fine, I'll let you get away with your averes. And therefore, they did not understand, they did not know, Alma Avdo, why did they lose Eretz Yisrael? Vakodesh Baruch Hu came to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aboichein, to one who checks Levavos, the hearts. Yoda, he knew, ki afal pi, although she oiskim haTorah, although Klal Yisrael was learning Torah, lo yoyu oiskim leshem limud haTorah. They were not learning for the sake of learning Torah. Elo only k'mosh loimdim shan chochmas. They were just learning it with a different approach. They were not learning it as if the way you have to learn Torah. We're understanding the kedushas haTorah, the heiligkeit, the holiness of the Torah. Rather, we're learning it like in any other wisdom, like any other chochmas. They're learning like Masna Havdel. They're just learning it out just to understand, but not with the heiligkeit of it. They failed to say Birkas HaTorah. He wasn't choshev in their eyes. It did not help. So yes, they did learn, and it seems they even learned by Hasmada, and it sounds they learned like many. It was packed of kodalim and loads of. Everybody was learning Torah, everybody was learning. But you know what? They were learning with a different approach. They were learning with the approach of an academic approach rather than a heiligkeit approach. And therefore the Torah did not help. And therefore they lost the Beis HaMikdash. It's a powerful, it's a very, very powerful, the way the Mishneh Berurah learns the Gemara. It's very, very powerful. It's not necessarily not all the Achronim learn the Gemara like that, but that's the way the Mishneh Berurah learns. It's unbelievable. On Tisha B'Av, we have to remember this Mishneh Berurah. Because Amar of the Torah, why did we lose the Beis HaMikdash? It's because, yes, they learned by Asmada Berubah. Think about it. Kolelim, mitzvahs, everything was kept. But the approach was not quite right. The approach was without that heiligkeit, without that kedusha. It wasn't choshev in their eyes. It was just an academic approach. Therefore, they lost the Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that unbelievable? It's just unbelievable. It wasn't choshev in their eyes. It wasn't choshev in their eyes. And therefore, the Torah aspect of it, the heiligkeit wasn't choshev. Therefore, they lost the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, one should be very careful. We need to be very careful. We thank Hashem properly. El Shebocha Bono, Hashem has chosen us for Los and Lono, and He gave us Klichem Dosta, the precious treasure of Torah. Gamom Chazal also Chazal say she'ainu zoichi chas v'shalom liyos lebet al mitchochem. A person did chas v'shalom not zoichi to have a son of tamitchochem. We all want our sons to be tamitchochem. That's our most sincere wish. There should be elicha yidden and tamitchochem. And chas v'shalom person is not zoichi for that. She'ainu nizah b'beikas haTorah. Person doesn't say because haTorah properly. Never mind that he's not going to be ending up at tamitchochem, but his sons also will not be in the tamitchochem. They say by Rabbi Reuven the sons of Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein, very interesting. Moshe Feinstein never needed an alarm clock his entire life. He didn't use an alarm clock, but that's not chokhmah because not using an alarm clock. If you wake up at 8 o'clock, is no rocket science. But Moshe Feinstein never slept after 5 a.m. in the morning, and he woke up naturally at 5 o'clock. And even with the night before, he attended simchas, which obviously was very common, being the gadol hador and having a yeshiva with many, many talmidim. Obviously, he attended very, very frequently simchas and chasanes. However late he went to bed, he never woke up later than 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was such a natural urge within his system to just wake up to learn. I'm sure many other tzaddikim is the same thing. There's a natural urge to learn and to get up and learn Torah. And what the children relate is that the way he said Birkas HaTorah, well, that's if they said that if they ever got anywhere in learning, that's what the sons of Reb Moshe relate. It's because they saw him saying Birkas HaTorah. They saw Reb Moshe's Birkas HaTorah on a day to day, and that's what made the Roshim. That's if they ever got anywhere. I myself was zoichet to see Rav Eliashiv's Birkas HaTorah. Pardon? Must be. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Never thought of that. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing Rav Eliashiv's Zichron Livrochus Exoter, and that also made a massive impact. It's just beautiful to see, because for them it means it's a very real thing. We need to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. They really thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thank you, Hashem, for choosing us. Thank you for giving us the Torah. What about the Chshivas of the Torah? What a beautiful, powerful Mishneh Berurah. What a beautiful, powerful Mishneh Berurah. Seif Bei, Tzorich Levoich. Now, what do you make a bracha on? Tzorich Levoich, Bein LeMikro, Bein LeMishno. Birkas HaTorah, says the Shulchan Aruch, you need to say it, Bein LeMikro, whether it is Torah, in other words, Torah Shebikzav, Bein LeMishno, or whether it's Bein LeGmora, or whether it's Torah Shebal Peh. Either way, whatever you're learning, or the Ramah even adds, Bein LeMedrash, also for Midrashim, any Chazal, any Torah, you need to say Birkas HaTorah. Yeah, and Mishneh Berurah adds over here, Tzif Kotten Gimel, Bein LeMedrash, Mechaber, Gam Kemoyde Bezet. It's no Machloikas of Etim, in the Shulchan Aruch, and Ramah Aji would have assumed maybe. No Machloikas, so the Sviru, the Gam Kem Bechlam Mikro. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch implies that Midrashim is included in Mikro. That's how the Shulchan Aruch understands. So either way, whatever you're learning, whether it's Torah Shebikzav or Torah Shebal Peh, you must say Birkas HaTorah. Save Gimel. What about writing? What about if you write? What about writing? Writing Torah. Writing Torah. If you write Chiddush Torah, do you need to say Birkas HaTorah? You're not uttering anything from your mouth necessarily. Birkas HaTorah or not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hakoise b'divrei Torah, somebody who writes divrei Torah, afal pi she'einu koireh, although you're not reading, tzorech levorech, you need to say Birkas HaTorah. Why is that? Siv Kotten Dalet, actually, we have to maybe just continue with Sif Dalet before we proceed in Mishneh Berurah here. Because Sif Dalet asks a question, Sif Dalet discusses, what about thinking Torah? And that is a fascinating topic. Thinking in Torah. That is going to bring to the discussion of hearing. I'm not getting there yet. Just thinking Torah. If you think in Torah, you think. Just thinking, do you need to say Birkas HaTorah for thinking Torah? What do you think, Rabbi Isai?
No,
you do not say Birkas HaTorah. Why is that?
It's not learning Torah to the depth that you would be if you're writing Kiddushim or writing different Torah, or if you're learning from a sefer.
Good. So if you're learning and you're not just if you're learning in thinking and you're not actually speaking, it's a lesser level of Torah. That's what you're saying. Okay, Rabbi Isai, what do you think? Thinking without speaking. You say Birkas HaTorah? No, why not? You're thinking.
No one's speaking it out.
Therefore,
writing can also be less than thinking, because you could just be, someone could be writing a mezuzah.
Right, very interesting.
By tracing it and daydreaming.
Daydreaming whilst you're writing. Good. So that's with regards to writing. What about thinking Torah? Because of Torah or not?
Not doing a Maisa.
Not doing a Maisa. Oh, good. So the emissary is, there's a question over here. And there's an underlying, very interesting question. That do you think that you're fulfilling a mitzvah of learning Torah by thinking Torah? Or are you only fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah when you're actually speaking it out?
Mitzvah to think as well.
It's a Mefush Pasuk. As it says in the Pasuk, V'Gisaba Yemo Laila. The thinking, V'Gisaba, as you're thinking, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. So therefore, what's going to be the question? Surely, if you think, you should definitely say Birkas HaTorah. Pardon? Oh, good. Okay, so let us just first see the halacha and explore your thought. Says the Shulchan Aruch, HaMeharheir, somebody who thinks b'divrei Torah, somebody who thinks Torah, ein tzorich levorich, does not need to make a bracha. Now see, that is very interesting. Because surely you're fulfilling the mitzvah when you're thinking in Torah. There's no doubt about it. You're certainly fulfilling the mitzvah by thinking in Torah. You don't need to speak it out. If you're thinking in Torah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. So why is that? Amehareir is not making a Birkas HaTorah. Let us see. And an additional question, which is going to be just as important. What is the difference between somebody who's thinking Torah and somebody who's writing Torah? Why is it that somebody who's thinking Torah does not say Birkas HaTorah? And somebody who's writing Torah, he is saying Birkas HaTorah. Why is that?
One's thoughts are put into action when you write.
Action! Action! Action, the key word being action. Yeah, action-driven person.
What category would listening be in
Good. Very good. Well, I hope to get to that. Okay? Because, yeah, good question. It's a good question. I hope to get to that. Shmia, where does listening, hearing, where does that fit? Yeah?
Speaking?
Yeah, in this context for sure. Yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, very much what you're suggesting in Seif Katan Dalet. How goes Seif? The Sviralon, the Ksiva, Odif Meyu. Shulchan Aruch holds that writing is better than thinking. The Atam, and the reason for that is, the rationale is, Yeshom, some say Mishum, the Ovid, Maisei is doing an action. Yes, exactly like Rabbi Conan and yourself are saying, that if you are speaking, you're doing if you're writing, you're doing an action. And if you're doing an action, you make a bracha. However, if you just think it's lacking in action, you don't make a bracha. Veishom some say, the derech ha-koisev, that's very much what you are saying. Somebody who is writing, lo-itzi derech ha-koisev, lo-itzi tevus me-pib b'shavas tziva. Normally, when you look at people writing, have you ever noticed? What do people do when they're writing? Look at their mouth, they're often whispering to themselves what they're writing. So you say that normally tens of people are writing, they normally speak as well, very quietly. So therefore, that's what he's saying, big zatera. V'chol ze koizif svorim la'atzmoi derech limudoi. Who maybe mashu koizif, this is all we've got, somebody who's writing something which is understanding what he's saying. Aval soifer, mamash your point, Mr. Berlin. Aval somebody who's a soifer, hamatic, somebody simply copying, literally, mamash your point, Mr. Berlin. Somebody's copying, v'yeinim evakesh lov, and he's not seeking to understand. Stand, ain't so ich levorich, he does not need to make a bracha, the ain't a limo, because that's not considered learning. If you are just spacing out and you're just copying, it'd be like, just copying without understanding what you're doing, that is not considered learning, don't make a satire on that. The cholchken, even more same, koisev is a posuk, beigeres, arishus, letovatzachos, ain't so ich levorich. Also, similarly, if you're just writing as something without even understanding what you're doing, certainly you don't need to make a satire, kim and chenim is chavlim, but you're not intending to learn. So, the shulchanoch paskens, that are koisev, somebody who writes, he needs to make a satire. Whether it's because there's a maisa, or whether it's because he's probably going to speak anyway. When you're writing, you say because a Torah, assuming that you're trying to learn something. If you're just literally copying, you don't really need to make a because a Torah. Say if cotton, hey, ain't no tzorich. You don't need to make because a Torah on hiru, on thinking. The hiru lav kedibur domi. Hiru, somebody thinking, is not considered like speaking. Lefiza, therefore, yeshli zoir, you need one needs to be careful. Oisna loimdim, people who are the learning. Beiyun, thinking, pondering. Mitoich ha-sefer from the sefer. Sheizoru lo-oitzi k'tzasti v'toyer b'feach ha-bocha. If somebody is just sitting and learning without the chavusa, sitting and learning quietly, just to himself, it's not, after having said because he can't just open up the sefer and thinking and learning, says the Mishnah Berurah. You need to actually utter the, you need to utter some psukim first, which is the echlemot. You can't just delve into yourself. You can't, after the Torah, you need to actually say, speak out before you actually, after having made the bracha. You need to say physically to utter it, after having said the Birkas HaTorah. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Hashem. What about, So just to answer the question, how can it be that hiru, which is thinking, surely that's a mitzvah as well? How come you don't make a bracha on that? Surely it's a mitzvah. Why is that hiru, thinking and learning, you don't make a bracha? It's a mitzvah. Why is that? It's a mitzvah. So why does the Birkas HaTorah not, why can you not make a Torah on it? Question makes sense? Good question. Be'alocha's question. Pardon? So therefore, is it a mitzvah or not? The Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah. You make the bracha on the mitzvah. So if you're telling me they're fulfilling the mitzvah, surely you can make Birkas HaTorah on it. Does that make sense? You're fulfilling the mitzvah by thinking. Biraloch asked the question. I bevira groshe makshal ze. Talay hiru ba toiru gam ken mitzvah. Dekseh vegisa ba yoyma volaylo. It's a good question. It's a very starke kasha. The Nishmas Adam discussed it, and the Bialoch also. It's quite a kasha. The Nishmas Adam seems to answer. The Chayodim seems to answer that although you're fulfilling a mitzvah, But ultimately, the bracha, the takana of the bracha was on words. The takana of the bracha. Yes, for sure you're fulfilling the mitzvah when you're thinking. For sure you are. Certainly when you're listening to, when you're listening as well, you're fulfilling it. No doubt about it. Shemea ka'oine. But you're for sure fulfilling the mitzvah when you're thinking. You're for sure fulfilling a mitzvah when you're hearing. For sure, no doubt about it. But the bracha was made only on a way that you have to actually utter the words from your mouth. So therefore the bracha is it's the takana in the bracha, and it's not telling us anything about the mitzvah. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I'm also trying to convince myself that I can understand it. Well, let's hear. The question makes sense. The question is, why is it that on thinking you come a bigger Torah? The answer is that yes, indeed, it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. When you're thinking a Torah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. But the bracha of Birkas HaTorah was set and made on just on when you're uttering words. So of course you're fulfilling a mitzvah when you're thinking. But the bracha was just... Does that make sense?
It's not even a bigger mitzvah if you're saying the word.
Correct. Correct. According to the Chavadam, that's what it appears, yeah. The Mishneh Berurah is not so convinced about it. Mishneh Berurah discusses it, he goes into various nafkaminis, but you're right, according to the Chavadam, that's what it appears. Okay, it's something to think. What about somebody who is asked a shayla halacha lemaisa? My flesh exploded, my milk, some of the wheatabix fell into my cholent, and the Rav picks up the phone, somebody asks the shayla the Rav, and the Rav wants to answer that. He can't say, listen, I haven't said because I tell you yet, give me a minute. He can't do that. So what is he going to do? He wants to pass in the Shaila. But can he pass in the Shaila? Can he pass in the Shaila before having said because I tell you? All he needs to say is, Mutter, you can have the Cholent, or also forget it. All he needs to say is one word. Can you pass in the Shaila before you because I tell you, Rabbi Yisrael? Pass in the Shaila before because I tell you. Somebody knocks on the door at 6 o'clock in the morning. Is this Esrik, is it kosher, Basra, is it, can you, is this Hadassim, can I, I'm going to shul now, can I, and, can you do that? Does nothing help? Can you do that? Shake his head, yeah, shake his head, does that help? No. What do you have to do? So it's fascinating. What do you think you can and you can't?
Yeah,
you can. Yeah. Why is it not called learning? Can you answer a shayla? Answer, it's regular, it's not. But let's see what the Shulchan Aruch Rama says. V'hu aden in tzilin lid yochai lifsuk din bloy nesin as tam ledvorov. The Rama paskens, yes, you're allowed to pasken a shayla as long as you don't explain it. You're allowed to say muta, also, tomei, tohoi. You're allowed to do all that as long as you don't explain. So if you ask if you're a reason, you say, I can't explain it to you. You ask me why it's muta, I can't explain it to you. Yeah, so that's why is that? Says the Mishnah Mosef Kotten Zayin, Sha'atam shu'ikir adin, eino lo mehar beliboy. The reason, the rationale for the psak is in your eyes, is just the thought. So that's okay. Just to say the word yes, no, that's not limud al-Torah. The agrob of you with the Vilna Gaon part, cholek al zeh, he disagrees, and the svira leni holds, He said, no. The Vilna Gaon says it's no different. Lemaisa, ultimately, it's no different than somebody's saying psukim. If you're saying psukim, you're going through psukim, you also need to make bracha, because of Torah. So similarly also here, even though it's just coded, but ultimately, you're saying some Torah. You have to say because of Torah. The Vilna Gaon goes that far, and he says, if you're just thinking, you have to make because of Torah. But he does say, so that's Zaloch Lemaisa. The Gemara says that paskening is fine. The Mishneh Berurah brings from the Vilna Gaon that you shouldn't. What about fulfilling of a mitzvah, Rabbi Yisai? Fulfilling a mitzvah. Can you shake the lulav without having said Birkas HaTorah? Oh. Can you? Another mitzvah?
Yes.
Pardon? Can you gift? No, let's leave out Benodim Lechaveiroi. Tefillin. Without having said Birkas HaTorah. Okay. Can you do a mitzvah without a Birkas HaTorah? What do you think? Why not? So I'll tell you what the Mishnah Berurah says. And you will hear from the Mishnah Berurah why you'd have thought not. According to everybody, you're allowed to do a mitzvah prior to Birkas HaTorah. Certainly, although certainly, whilst you fulfill the mitzvah, when you fulfill a mitzvah, inevitably you think a little bit about the halachas, or at least the time of mitzvah. When you fulfill a mitzvah, normally, if you're doing it properly, you're thinking about the mitzvah. You're not just doing it like a robot, you're thinking about the mitzvah. If you're thinking about a mitzvah, you're doing a thought process, so of Torah. So you'd have assumed that you have to say Birkas HaTorah on that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no. It's not. It's just a thought process. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. You don't have to make. If you're just for the fulfillment of a mitzvah, you don't have to say Birkas HaTorah. It's fine. The kol she'enu mischaven lelimud. You're not intending to learn. Ein tzarich bracha. You don't need to make a bracha. So here we're learning the fulfilling of a mitzvah. However much you're thinking about the mitzvah you're doing, you're thinking about the halacha, think about the time, whatever it may be, you don't have to say Birkas HaTorah. The truth is, there is a bit of a stira. Pardon? Why is that? Toddy against what?
Against the shaking lulav.
So shaking lulav prior to, yes, so you're right. You could be right. That's a very interesting shaila. You're asking an interesting question with regards to the people who shake the lulav before davening. Is that what you're asking? Where does that come from?
Yeah.
Very good. So this is a good question. Ramoshe speaks about it, and it's based on the Magen Avraham. The answer is, it's a discussion on its own, and the answer is that they learn and they understand that the lulav is something which its zman starts at from Netzach Hamah. The zman of the mitzvah starts earlier.
But then, there they should say the bracha first.
Right.
First, no?
Yeah. Good. Okay, that's an interesting. So just to recap what we covered. So Hiru will, so listening, so if... although we learn that Amhar B'Divrei Torah Eino Tzorich Levorach Kono Shulchan Aruch, nevertheless Shmia, because we learn the Gemara says Shmia Ka'oine, so it's not like Hiro, it's more than Hiro, it's much more than Hiro, it's on a higher level, and it's Shmia Ka'oine, it's as if you actually literally utter the word from you, and therefore there's more reason why you should say Birkas HaTorah. However, nevertheless, we're going to learn that after saying Birkas HaTorah, you need to say words of Torah, you need to actually learn, that wouldn't be good enough. Shmir wouldn't be good enough for that. Yeah? But that's how we pass in. Right. Just to recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about Tzirich Lezor B'Ma'oit, which a person should be very careful with the Birkas HaTorah. We learned about this beautiful and very powerful and very, very powerful Mishnah Berurah b'Ma of the Oretz, the importance of saying Birkas HaTorah b'Kavona. And b'Simcha, Mishnah Berurah says, we learned that you need the Birkas HaTorah on any Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebapeh. We also learned that somebody who writes Torah, he needs to say Birkas HaTorah as well. Somebody who thinks Torah, he does not need to say Birkas HaTorah to the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah brings Cholkim, but the Shulchan Aruch, you don't need to make Birkas HaTorah on thinking. Paskening, the Ramah says, if you paskin without explaining, it's considered hero, and you don't need to be exotera. Again, the Mishnah Berurah brings cholkim on that and machmirim. And finally, we learn somebody who fulfills a mitzvah, he doesn't need to say Birkas HaTorah, although he's undoubtedly, he's likely to think about Torah. He's learning, but he's not, doesn't need to say Birkas HaTorah on it.